Welcome to the Chris Ruggiero Podcast.
You're hearing her brand new single, A Plus D. I'm very excited to have her on the podcast this week. It's Vita Chambers. We chat about all kinds of awesome stuff that she's been up to, some of the adventures she's had, like, say, going on tour with Justin Bieber. And probably my favorite thing about her is that she's doing everything on her own. She was on a major record label and decided to leave and do everything independently. So she has full control over everything that she does, and that's kind of amazing. So we'll get right into it. Thank you guys for listening. Here is Vita Chambers. Well, it looks like you're having a nice day there.
I am. I'm in Barbados on vacation at the moment, and here we have this thing called Kudumen, which is our carnival, and we just did that yesterday, so I apologize if I seem a little sedate. I'm still recovering. The news is all over. I'm aching. But I'm doing very well, very relaxed. How are you?
Good. Yes, so you did. What is this, the celebration called?
It is called Kudumen. It's our carnival. And basically, we spend ridiculous amounts of money and buy beaded costumes full of glitter and completely overdone. This is actually my friend's costume. This was hers yesterday. Yeah, like this. And we line up, we have bands, which is a group of people, like the company that you bought your costume under. And we literally just walk just like behind trucks with music and drinks and walk a route in the streets. So we go through neighborhoods and it's a lot of fun. They're like 5,000 people plus who usually do it every year. So it's a pretty ridiculous event, but it's a lot of fun.
Wow. And you do that every year?
It happens every year. I try to go every year, but I missed last year, so I had to make it this year.
Nice. And so for people that might not know, you said you were in Barbados, and that's where you are originally from.
Yes. Well, I was born in Vancouver originally, but my parents moved here when I was 3 weeks old, so I really didn't have a say in the matter. But I grew up here until I was 16, and then I moved to New York, and then LA, and then now Toronto. So, but yes, this is my home, so to speak, my second home.
So you moved to New York, you said, when you were 16. When did you start creating music?
Well, I always loved music. I always was singing in my living room. If you could picture an 8-year-old competing with Freddie Mercury but in my living room. But when I was 11, I decided that I wanted to take vocal lessons, and my mom said, okay, we'll go find one. And one of my dad's friends I knew sang Broadway, so I begged him to teach me how to sing, and he was like, he never taught anyone before, and he was in the military originally, and he's a great guy, but he's very stern. So anyways, he said, well, I'll teach you operatic, and I was like, okay. So I did 9 months of operatic training for my first experience with vocal training, and I mean, it was crazy. Every time I did something wrong, I had to drop and do 20 and stuff like that. But I did vocal lessons and had numerous teachers, one amazing one called Marissa Lindsay down here. And she kind of just mentally put me in a different frame of mind for doing music and just understanding myself as an artist. And a lot of it helped me when I started writing. And I actually got discovered off MySpace with 4 songs that I co-wrote with a friend of mine. And that's, I guess, the start of me creating music. Was when I was 15.
And how did that come about when you posted some songs on MySpace?
Yeah.
And they kind of took off and people heard about you through that. And then what did that lead to eventually?
Well, a week later after posting those songs, I got a message from a production company in New York, and they said they wanted to sign me. So they did. And every vacation that I had, every week that I had off, I was up in New York recording. It was incredible. And then 2 months later, it's on the day of my birthday, I got told that I wanted to be signed by Universal Motown. So that was crazy. So I just basically did that for a little bit and toured with Justin Bieber. I did Lilith Fair for a whole summer. That was crazy and ridiculous and was amazing. I chose Sarah McLachlan. She was incredible. And I did another road show called Bamboozle. So there I met, you know, Good Charlotte, LMFAO, right before they blew up, Third Eye Blind, incredible bands. So I did a lot. Then 4 years later, I kind of decided that I wanted to do it on my own. So I opened up my own label, my own production company, and Gold Dump Productions, and moved to Canada, mostly because I was doing a lot in New York, but I didn't feel that I was being an artist, if that makes any sense. I really wasn't involved in any artistic mm-hmm. aspect of my career. I didn't write my own music at the time. I didn't really have a say in, you know, my imaging and stuff like that. So when I turned 19, I really decided I really want to take the bull by the horns and do it myself. So that's when I ventured out to Toronto, and I've had the most incredible success and support from Canadians and from people in Canada. And that's been the beginning of my road as a writer. I co-direct my own videos, I write treatments for them, and I'm kind of doing everything on my own. It's been a wonderful, crazy, hectic whirlwind ever since.
Yeah, that's a pretty bold move when you have like some, you know, initial success and all that, and other people are so interested in you, and then you decide that you want to kind of back out of all of that and just to have the freedom to do it yourself is amazing. And I think I don't think a lot of people have the courage to do something like that when they have. It's probably a lot easier. I'm sure you can attest to being a lot easier in a way to like sit back and let other people do those things.
Oh, it is much easier. I mean, well, you don't have to really rely on anything. And then they're like, oh, well, you have a music video, and you just show up and you're like, great. And you think this is how it works. But then when you go and do it, and you have to realize, okay, well, I have to hire the video director, the cinematographer, the venue. But it's been wonderful. And I don't think I could have done it without my parents. My parents have always been supportive of me and what I wanted to do since I was forever, actually. And they saw how badly I wanted it. When I decided to do it on my own, they said, we will back you and we will help you in any way that we can. And thankfully, I'm very blessed. My parents, you know, they have a bit of a business background, so they were able to help me not make too many big mistakes. But it's been an interesting road, having to take on a lot of responsibility when things don't go right. You know, it comes back on me. But it's okay. I love it. I prefer it because I'm able to write what I feel and experiment and listen to people, listen to my fans, and listen to what they like and what they don't like and what they want to hear and stuff like that. So it's been a very interesting journey.
What do you think the biggest challenge out of all that stuff has been, kind of branching out and doing it yourself? Like, overall, if you could say one thing that was the hardest part about doing that?
I think the hardest thing is grasping, really, just there's a lot that goes into releasing a song, and especially nowadays, where before, you know, people released albums and it worked like that, and then you could just go on to radio and stuff like that. So I think being a new artist, essentially, and a small company, a small label, a small network in itself, competing with these huge labels has definitely been a huge challenge. But I believe that at the end of the day, you know, the fans decide what they want. And I have been very fortunate enough to have a great and very supportive group of fans, you know, who've been there for me through thick and thin, and have been there for me when I wasn't releasing anything, and then waiting and giving me support and coming to my shows. I mean, live shows have really been would have gotten me to where I am, meeting my fans, speaking with them. So I think competing has been the biggest challenge with these huge companies and labels who've been around for decades, and having to stand on my own two feet and be among them.
So you glanced over a little bit earlier that you did some really cool tours with some huge artists. Justin Bieber being one of them, of course, one of the bigger names. And I'm sure you get asked that about that experience all the time. But do you have any anything from that tour, that memorable moments or anything that you'd like to share?
The whole thing, honestly, was memorable. My band that I had at the time was just incredible, a wonderful group of people. And I truthfully am not just saying this because I'm in an interview and I'm trying to be diplomatic, but to this day, has been one of my favorite tours, not because it's just because we're going on tour with Justin Bieber and it's huge. Every single person down to one of the stage techs, everyone was so nice and so humble and so supportive that, you know, I hadn't even been in the building 5 minutes and Justin came and thanked me for being on his tour. And I was like, no, thank you. And everyone, you know, we knew everyone's name just the whole time you were there. So you would go and just hang out with everyone. And it was like a big family backstage. So for that reason, I loved it. And it was such a tease too, because, you know, you go out on tour with this mega star and you're performing to 30,000 screaming girls every night. And then you finish the tour and you're like, crap, now I got to do this all on my own.
Yeah, now what am I supposed to do?
Now what do I do? I've had the taste of success. I don't want to go back. But it was amazing. And it definitely evaluated and proved that this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. That's my goal. Yeah.
Do you have any other tour stories or any other of your standout, like, favorite tour moments from any other things?
I have a lot of tour stories. Which ones do I want to share? let's see. Oh, that's a good one. One time, I went on tour with this band called Rocket to the Moon. It was one of my first tours that I ever did through America, States. And it was the last day of our on the tour. And the end of it, so the headlining band went on, and all the other bands and myself decided that we wanted to prank them at the end of the show. So we dressed up in ridiculous outfits. I don't know where we got them. They're probably from a dumpster somewhere. And life of a struggling artist. Anyway, there is a staircase right at the back of the stage, and it led right onto stage. It was a really strange setup. This is in Poughkeepsie, New York. And we all came running down, cascading down the staircase at the end of the song. And I was one of the last people to come out, and I accidentally tripped over the lead guitarist's plug-in for his lead guitar right before he was about to do his solo. And everyone in the audience hated me because it was like one of their big songs, and I pretty much kind of like screwed it up. But he plugged it in time, and then we got the show done.
Yeah.
That was like one of the funny ones. And one of my favorite things about tour is the people that you go on tour with. It becomes an immediate family and you rely on people. You can't do your show without every piece of the puzzle fitting. And it's a wonderful experience if you ever get a chance.
Going from, you know, doing those tour experiences to getting out, meeting your fans and getting to play and meeting the other bands and things like that, how do you, comparing that to being in the studio and creating new music, do you prefer one or the other?
I don't know if I could pick. It's like, oh, it's so different. But I will say this, with live music, when I go and record a song, or I'm writing a song, and I'm in the studio with it, it's my personal time with it. So that's my time to kind of be, sorry, that's another thing about Barbados. Everyone has really obnoxious sounds for their cars. Anyways, it's my time with the song, and it's my time to revel in it and be emotional with it and discover how it affects me emotionally. And then when I go and perform it live, it becomes something bigger than you and just about you. It becomes something that people can relate to, and it becomes an emotional journey and an emotional experience for so many other people. There's nothing I love more than seeing people singing their heart out, giving as much as I am in the audience, singing my song that I wrote. It's an incredible feeling. They're two completely different experiences, one that you share and one that you kind of have to experience and explore for yourself. Yeah, so I love both. I can't pick either.
Does that ever feel very surreal when you're on stage and you wrote a song that was very personal and very, you know, much, you know, you kind of release yourself and then you see other people connecting to it and, you know, being connected to that and kind of experiencing maybe those same emotions and things that you were going through with that song?
Yeah, it's beautiful, really. I feel such, there's something magical about it. It does, honestly, because you're like, wow, I have affected people. I haven't done just something because it's cool and it sounds great and I'm trying to, you know, do something in the music industry. It's like my song helped somebody through something, or my song relates to some aspect of their life and I have no idea who you are. You're a complete stranger, but somehow we're connected in this weird cosmic kind of way.
Yeah, and you realize probably in those moments that, you know, you go through, people don't see all the, you know, like you were saying, being an independent artist, all the trouble and hassles that you go through. And in those moments, I'm sure it becomes very worthwhile. And you realize that, you know, all that stuff that you've gone through is worth it, because even one person out there connects and gets that feeling of, you know, something that you were trying to convey in that song.
Absolutely.
Has there ever been any circumstances or situations that happened to you that made you doubt, like, everything that you're doing?
Yes, definitely. Actually, that's what made me become an independent artist. I've been in the industry for 4 years, and three and a half, I'm other discrediting, I'm sorry. I worked with a lot of people. I've worked with, you know, quite a few management companies, and I'd already been with two labels. And it got to the point where some of the people that I was working with, they really didn't have my best interest in mind, and people were doing things behind my back. And I had already been in the industry for three and a half years, and I had already done quite a few things. So I was told that I was damaged goods, that I, you know, they tried and it didn't work and it failed. And it was a really tough time because I put so much into it. I had such high expectations, as, you know, when you get signed, you do, you're like, oh my God. And I wanted it so badly that when they told me this and I was told that, you know, there's really not much else we can do for you, my dreams were crushed. I had never wanted anything else. This is all that I wanted to do. From every waking moment that I could think, going back in my life, I wanted to wake up that day and do something with music. So I was about to quit the music industry, and I was like, oh my God, what have I spent my life trying to achieve? I've just wanted this thing that I can't grasp. And my mom said, just come to Toronto, where they were living at the time, and just heal your soul, figure out what you want to do, and just be at peace with yourself for a little bit. And I did that. And then I released my song, Fix You, which launched my career, and it did way better than I was expecting it to. And ever since then, I promised myself that I would do music the way I wanted to do it, honestly, truthfully, and no aspect of it would it not be me. I had to be involved in every aspect of it. So here we are. I'm making a lot of mistakes, but I also have learned from them, and I've met so many incredible people who've given me a chance where they really didn't need to. They just believed in my project, and I would not be here where I am speaking with you without them. So you're a part of that, so thank you.
Yes, thank you for not quitting. I think that's the as I'm talking to more and more people, the theme has been very much either get started, which is the hardest part, and then don't stop, which is the next hardest part. And, you know, whatever happens is going to happen, and it's going to probably suck a lot of the times and be terrible, and the point is to keep going.
Absolutely.
So what do you want your fans to walk away with after either seeing a performance of yours or listening to some of your music?
I want them to feel that they're a part of something. I want them to feel just in general. I find that today we're told, you know, how to act in public, you know, what's right and what's wrong in stances of feeling something, you know, how you must conduct yourself in public. And I honestly think that people need to embrace being unique and different and find that as a strength more so than a weakness. Because, I've met so many people and so many young kids while doing my shows, and, you know, they're expected to do something, and they I've had a few people come and tell me that they love that I just am all about feeling empowered with yourself, feeling that you are limitless and striving for what you want and fighting for what you want and feeling so empowered. I want people to walk away with that feeling, a feeling of euphoria within yourself, to something bigger than themselves that they're a part of.
You have some cool stuff coming up. I hear that you are working on a upcoming CBC show.
Yes, skydiving.
Is that something that was your idea? Skydiving? Have you done it before? It's just a random thing?
Yeah, they came to me and they said, well, we want to have you on our show when you do a performance and an interview. And I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. And they said, okay, and how do you feel about skydiving? And I was like, yes, let's do it. And then my booking agent was like, whoa. Like, I don't know about this, Vita. And it was so funny. He was joking with me just before we actually went into that meeting, because I'm actually going on tour in South Africa. Well, I'm hoping to. I'm a little bit nervous about this whole Ebola thing.
Yeah.
And I'm a hypochondriac just to begin with. So me going to a continent that has Ebola, I'm a little nervous, but hopefully it does work out. Anyways, and I was saying that I wanted to go cage diving with the great white sharks. And he was like, absolutely not. You're not doing that. Not an option. And then I was like, you just wait. One of these days, I'm just going to do it. And then I'll tell you afterward. And then I go into this meeting and they want me to go skydiving. I'm very excited about it. I've always wanted to do it. So check off my bucket list.
Nice. And so the South African tour, how did that come? Do you have a big fan base there, or how did that come about?
I really was not aware of this at all, but turns out that I have people who like my song out there, and my promoter was doing some work out there, and he's like, listen, Vita, they know your song. You have to go do some shows out here. So we put that into the works, and it's moving. Hopefully, also, I'm going to be going up to the UK at the end of this month and doing some shows. And I found out, like, my song Fix You is playing in Indonesia. My other single, What If, was a huge Pride hit in Canada. It became like the theme song for Hamilton Pride. It got played in World Pride in Toronto, which was this year. And it's been playing all throughout Europe, which has been amazing. It's been interesting to hear that I have fans in other countries. A little surreal, honestly, but it's been great.
Yeah, that's crazy. Some of those places. What's the craziest place you've done a show at?
I just came back from Japan in March this year, and that was nuts. That was crazy. I had no idea. First of all, I'm going to a completely different country with a different language. And I found that the people knew my song and they wanted me to come and perform. It was an incredible experience and so humbling too. I hadn't slept for like 48 hours and I get off the plane and I have to go to soundcheck and I have to do a show. I was in a daze the whole time and I loved it. And I took my dancers with me and we were just in awe. We had to go try ramen. And the beautiful thing about Japan is I thought, you know how they say New York is a city that never sleeps? This takes it to a whole new level. These people go out partying until like 5 a.m. So it was 5 a.m. and my dancer and I, one of my dancers and myself, we wanted food so badly. So everybody went to sleep. We went to the best ramen place in Japan, had ramen. There was a guy passed out literally head first into his plate. I'm not even joking. And they were so nice. They put all of his contents in a basket underneath his table, put his bill there, let him sleep it off, gave him a glass of water. And they were going out partying again at another club. I was like, this is ridiculous. So that was my craziest, I think, shows this year. But I'm really looking forward to the UK and South Africa.
Yeah, and your latest release, the A&D release, tell us about that, because there are two versions of the song that is kind of interesting. How did that all come to be?
Yeah, A+D so far, I think, has been my most honest song. I mean, all of them I write from some experience, but this one I feel there's a lot of depth to it in the lyrics, and there's a lot I'm speaking about. And I just woke up one morning that I wanted and decided that I wanted a 16-piece orchestra to play behind me and have two versions of the song. So I told my mom, and she was like, okay. So I was very fortunate enough to work with a group in New York called Shattered Glass a year before, with a group with rapper and a group called Kinetics and One Love. And we worked together. So I called Shattered Glass. I called Max Jacob, who's the composer of the group and the lead. And he said we'd love to do it. So for a month, we were going back and forth and basically crafting this version. And the pop version is definitely completely different. I worked with a producer called Mark Pelly and Alex Tennis. And they're actually part of the band called Magic, who's doing really well right now. And they produced the song, co-produced it. And oh wow, it's been wonderful. I've had a lot of people starting to talk about it because of the fact that there are two versions and they're so different, and you see me in two completely different lights. So I'm very proud of this one.
So that's another thing, being a independent artist, that you know, if you were on, you know, a bigger label or something, they'd probably been like, "No, that's crazy. You can't do that."
Exactly. And I shot two different videos for them too. So, right. Not only did I produce two different songs at the same time, I did two videos. So yeah, I definitely probably would not have been allowed to do that. But that was, and the director, Aaron Dean, he is amazing. He was so patient with me because I would call him up at like 3 a.m. I want to do this. And then I'd call him like at 8. Sorry, forget all about that. I don't want to do it anymore. But he was very patient and he loves cinematography, so passionate about it. So it's a privilege to work with somebody who's equally as passionate about, you know, what in their field, about what they do. And we were able to come up with those two versions.
What do you have coming up? What can we look forward to seeing from you in the near future?
More music, definitely. I would just want to put out great videos and great music all together. An album in the new year. I'm working on that. Bit of a headache, but I'm very excited about it. More of a headache to kind of pick the songs that I want to put in. I have to pick a certain number. I have so many, and find the right story I want to tell. And touring. I want you guys, if anyone, you know, please go on my website and check out I'm going to show you, actually, and see if you'd like to come. And that's pretty much what I have coming up so far.
So what do you think your main audience is, like, when you go to, when you're on tour and stuff? What is your main audience, like, the type of people that come to see you?
I've had such a wide range of people come to my shows that I've met. My fans are very passionate, I will say that. They love, I mean, as anyone's fans are, but they very, I find when they come to a show, it's like you're giving them an excuse to be free, to be free with their emotions. So I think, and I think the type of people that my fans turn into when they come to my shows are just, they revel within themselves. They embrace themselves and just give it their all being at my shows. And I love that. I was very fortunate enough to do World Pride, as I said earlier, this year. And that was amazing. That was crazy. I met so many beautiful people who just, you know, are so confident and so brave, just to forget what everybody else thinks about them and just be themselves. And it was wonderful to witness that. They're very brave fans.
Being someone who has actually gone out and, you know, accomplished great things, and, you know, you have much more planned to come from you. And so some of your fans or some people that may look up to you as being a, you know, brave and courageous, what advice might you have for them? You know, whether they want to be, you know, a musician or whatever they want to do, like, you know, what would you say is a take-home message for them to kind of like live by, to, you know, actually accomplish things that they want to accomplish?
I think to anyone, regardless of what it is you want to do, make sure you want it, all of it. And you're never going to take no for an answer, and you're willing to fight for it, because I think there are always going to be hard times in whatever you do, in life in general. And when you find something that you want, it's your love for it that's going to help you get you through those hard times. And whatever you do, do it passionately and full-heartedly and with all of you in it, and make it represent you. I think that's, be fearless. Be fearless at achieving your goals, achieving your dreams.
Is there anything else you'd like to touch on or share with the listeners or some of your fans?
Yes. Please come and follow me on Twitter at Vita Chambers. I follow all of my fans because they've been great to follow me. Thank you. And I talk to you. I love to have spontaneous conversations with my fans. Also on Instagram, watch me as through pictures as I document my crazy, ridiculous life. And please follow my website, www.vitachambers.com, and see if I'm performing near you. Also, I have a lot of really cool stuff that I post on there monthly. I'm doing a lot in fashion, and I collaborate a lot with fashion designers, different designers, and photographers. So I post my crazy, cool ideas with them. So yes, please come to my website. And also iTunes, buy my new single. Leave a comment and let me know what you think. Go on YouTube. If you can't say something nice, don't say it at all. But if you like it, however, please share it. Sing it at the top of your lungs. Roll down your windows in your car. Let the world hear it. And I hope you love it.
We do love it. Thanks, Vita. Go follow her on Twitter, Instagram, and check out her website. Go check out her brand new single, which you're hearing right now, A Plus D. Pick it up on iTunes. Thank you again for listening. And remember, if you want to go do something, stop waiting for someone else to say it's okay and go do it.
Thank you for listening to the Chris Ruggiero Podcast.